Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice. My good friend and musical collaborator Paul Menetiades always brings the heat with his song choices. Paul joins the Four Timer Club this week, and he follows up episodes about Harvey Danger, EMF, and the Dead Milkmen with yet another classic banger in I Love You More Today Than Yesterday by Spiral Staircase. This enduring love anthem appeared on the band's one and only album before their breakup, but did the rest of the album bring the thunder as much as this one did? Stay tuned to find out.
Day comes a new way of loving you.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
Are you in the three-timer or four-timer club?
He's in the three-timer
club. Three-timer club.
Harvey Danger, Dead Milkmen, and of course, the most logical step from there, Spiral Staircase.
Right. No, I'm in the four club.
Wait, what was the fourth one?
EMF.
That's right. You are in the four club. You joined the four club.
Four-timer. We haven't had a five-timer yet, right?
No. Man, in the EMF one, that is that was
a classic.
That's a classic one. There was a lot of editing that went into the echo whenever we'd yell, oh.
Yeah, I mean, we might have to just do that in this one, too, because today we are here to talk about More Today Than Yesterday by Spiral Staircase. Don't get it wrong. It is S-T-A-R-E case, not spelled like the stairs that you walk up. It is Spiral Staircase.
I've been getting it wrong.
Yeah.
Why?
So their name, I don't know why, but I know that they pulled their name from a 1946 horror film, and I guess they just changed it to be cheeky. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no like play on words really there. It's just spelled wrong.
Right.
Like, you're not staring at something.
Right.
Well, so they had to change their name. When they so they started off, the beginning of this band's kind of interesting. They met on an Air Force, like on an Air Force base, and they formed a band for their Air Force talent show.
Wow.
And they were like an instrumental rock band that was called the Fidelians.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they all were able to leave the Air Force, they immediately just started touring, and they caught the attention of an A&R scout for Columbia Records. And he's like, you guys are great, but that name is trash. So you need a new name right away. And I guess they were just like, maybe saw a poster for...
Okay.
I think of like the Simpsons episode where he forms the B-Sharps And they're trying to come up with the name, and he's like, it needs to be catchy, where it's funny and interesting the first time you hear it, but the joke's immediately dead the second time.
That's a good example.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you chose this song because you like this song.
Because I love this song, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good song. I mean, I've been trying to rack my brain. I think the first version I heard was Goldfinger playing this song. They do it really well.
They do it so well.
Yep.
Yeah, they really do.
That's my memory of it. But did you know the original first?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I knew the original because of my mom and my brother. Yeah.
Right.
The composer, we covered this song for a while. Probably a year. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw you play this.
Yeah.
You didn't do a recorded version of it.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. The recorded punk band version of it, that would be redundant.
Yeah.
but playing it live is always fun.
Right.
I'm sure.
I can't find the Goldfinger version.
Really?
Yeah. Were you able to find it? No problem.
I guess I've just heard it so many times. I didn't.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I thought it'd be no problem to find, and I cannot find it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I have it because it was on the Waterboy soundtrack. So I,
okay.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You're saying it didn't come
up.
I was
on Apple Music and I must not have dug far enough, you know, into like the soundtracks, right?
They were not the only people to cover this song, by the way. It was covered by a lot of artists.
Yeah.
And I looked up, I mean, some of the noteworthy ones were Andy Williams, Sonny and Cher, Diane Ross, Nick Carter covered this.
Wow.
And kind of in a weird, I can't find any recording of this. I think it was just in a live setting. But the composer, Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Which I'm like,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Chicago is a hell of a band, so I could see Chicago doing a great version of this song.
If I may have thought it was early Chicago or something,
It's probably like this band, that song, this song. It's like Chicago. If Chicago didn't, it's like the one hit wonder version of Chicago.
Yeah. Like, actually, let me look this up because if I'm remembering correctly, Chicago may have also been a band when this was a hit.
I think Chicago is probably a band by 1969.
Like, Chicago's been a band for a hell of a lot longer than I thought. Yeah, they formed in 1967.
Okay.
Nice.
Seems like an insanely long time for a band where a decent chunk of the members are still alive performing in the band.
They were like, they played Pittsburgh like a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah. I sent you last night the video of them. I don't think they were actually playing in that video.
That was definitely one of those the Pops type vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Geez, they're incredible looking band.
Yeah, they really are. Like, they really are.
The bassist, which I joked to Matt, he's one of those dudes who looks like he's 56, but he's probably 22 in that video.
Yep.
Just mustache, real dad looking, and
but dancing his ass off playing that bass.
So good.
Yeah. Wearing those powder blue
mm-hmm.
tuxes or whatever. Yep. Yeah.
I was real focused on the keyboard player who just looked like he couldn't even be bothered to fake play the piano. He literally was just hitting his hand on one side of the piano and every once in a while the other hand would flourish.
You'd see it here.
Well, and
there.
I also point out, I'm like, there's no way that entire horn section is just that sax player.
Just one sax player. But the bass player is cutting a rug.
Oh, yeah.
While he plays. Wow.
It looks awesome. Holding it up high, playing with the fingers, just has that little two-step.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
So there's something that I think makes sense about their entire appearance that I learned when I was doing research.
Okay.
So the lead singer, the guy who sings this, Pat Upton, he's who wrote it.
Okay.
He wrote it when they were the showroom band at the Flamenco Sky Room in Las Vegas. So they were like a Vegas band. And I feel like, looking at that live video, that screams 1960s Vegas band to me.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Even the sound of the horns, the melody of the horns, it almost has like a lounge vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It does. It has a lounge vibe, and with all the crescendos and stuff, you know, like
so
the
good.
In and out, and yeah,
right.
So good.
So Paul, when you played this, you obviously sang it.
Uh-huh.
Were you playing it in the original key?
Is the original key F?
Oh, I don't know.
It must be, because I don't think I'd play a song in F if I didn't have.
I mean, I was just going to ask you, was this is high. This is up there. We're watching him do it. It's pretty impressive.
I wonder.
Even when we watched the video of him when he was older, just doing it as like a solo artist, I'm like, he's still hitting those notes.
Right.
We watched him singing it in a room full of geezers, and I say that I know I'm eventually going to be a geezer. I'm on my way, but it was, you know, when I'm a geezer, I'll say, hey, I'm in a room full of geezers right now.
Right.
But it was him, you know, he was probably 60 singing it to a room of like 80 year olds who were like
tapping their feet and their the one hands.
Dude, the one dude had the one hand movement going every once in a while.
Totally.
He would do the pumps to the horn parts.
It's really good. Yeah, I listened to some other songs. I'm sure you did too. It was all kind of just like, yeah, that's kind of like more today than yesterday, but not as
good. Yeah, yeah. Almost like it's too smart or something. Because even More Today Than Yesterday is smart. It's a smart song. You know what I mean? Like,
give us some examples. Well, give us some musical examples of why this is a smart song.
Okay. Well, the chorus itself starts, I mean, the melody, like the first note and the first chord change, boom, major seven.
Mm-hmm.
The chords are on, like, say, the way I know the song, it's on a B flat and it's a high A. So right off the bat, that chorus is a major seven chord and gives me chills right there. But it doesn't move. It goes from four to three, which is a weird. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
If you're an F, it's B flat A, B flat. And it's very dark on that when it gets to the A. You know, it's dark, that part, right?
As we're breaking this down, I'm also thinking of the uniqueness of that, like, you know, I'll be spending time with you. Like, dude, it leads right into the chorus off of the O of you into the O of the chorus.
Yeah, and they throw a chromatic there. It like bounces down chromatically on that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because as you're telling me this, you've talked to me about this song before.
Have I? Okay.
And pointed the strangeness of this chorus out to me before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going between the four and the three. I literally had deja vu of you talking to me about this chorus.
Because it might be the only example that I can think of.
Wow.
Like that popular of a song. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Interesting.
This had to be one of those songs, like when you write the chorus, I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. You have to be sitting there like, yeah,
man. Like, for sure.
I just nailed this.
What is it? Upton, the dude's name?
Yeah, Pat Upton.
He must feel great.
So here's one thing that did kind of bum me out a little bit. So the band broke up 18 months after this song was released.
Oh,
dang. They said it was a combination of financial squabbles within the band and just an overall poor management from their team. Upton went off to become a session musician. He worked with people like Ricky Nelson and stuff like that. But pretty much after they broke up, the keyboard player, Harvey Kay, just reformed the band with six other dudes and toured throughout the 70s and 80s as Spiral Staircase.
What a dick.
Without Pat there singing his song.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
The guy who wrote and sang the song
was not in the band for most of the touring time of the band Spiral Staircase.
Wow.
It makes you wonder, like, how the keyboard player even pulled that off.
Yeah,
I mean, he had to pay him something for that, right?
You had to have.
But I'm just like, that is insane. And like, that's like, because then I was thinking about when we watched that video of him playing it live. Like, it was listed as like Pat Upton and the Spiral Staircase players or something like that. And I'm wondering if it was like one of those situations like the Misfits, right?
Yeah.
Where there's like the Misfits and Jerry Only's Misfits type vibe.
The Beach Boys had that sort of thing too. Yeah. I think at one point there were two Beach Boys,
which
is really funny.
Yeah. MXPX was doing that. MXPX All-Stars.
Really?
Yeah. I saw them in Cleveland as the MXPX All-Stars, and it was like without their guitar player and drummer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then it was short-lived. I do remember there was like a point where Mike was like the only dude in the band
doing it. Yeah.
And then like a couple years later,
Tom
and Yuri were like, "Ooh, we made a mistake."
Yeah. Oops. Oops. Can we do this again? Right. Funny enough, Mike Herrera's in Goldfinger now, just to tie it all back in.
Yeah, he gets to play this now. It's cool that they locked this one down. Like, you can't be a punk band and do this one now. There are not that many songs left to do that haven't been done by somebody else. You know, everything. Once they started doing those comps of like whatever, and it's just like everybody's covered everything.
Word on the street is Territorial Pissing by Nirvana is still up for grabs.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Not anymore.
Well, here was something I also think is cool about the power of this song, right? This song only peaked at 12 on the Billboard Hot 100, but it ended up being the 50th best-selling song of 1969. So, like, it must have been one of those songs, like we talked about Duncan Sheik, where it was like, It didn't hit number one, but it just hung out on the charts for months.
With lasting value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1969, that's a big musical year. I mean, maybe I just think that because of Woodstock and stuff, but that was a big year.
I'd say that's safe assumption. Yeah.
Here's some of what's going on the charts at that time. So when this was at 12, that was on June 14th, 1969. In the top 10 included like Three Dog Night, One is the Loneliest Number at 10.
Whoa.
The Guess Who, These Eyes was on there.
Oh, I like that one.
That was at 9. CCR, Bad Moon Rising was at 4. Jeez. Elvis Presley in the Ghetto at number 3. The number one song, The Beatles' Get Back.
Wow.
And then but this is kind of upsetting. The number one song, the best-selling single of 1969 for the entire year is a song we've covered on this podcast.
I know, and I bet you I know what it is.
What is it?
Is it the Archies?
The Archies' Sugar Sugar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Even the Beatles' Get Back couldn't surpass the Archies.
Couldn't beat out that cartoon band.
But you know what? It also kind of makes sense to me, again, for something we were talking about on a different episode. You're not going to buy the Beatles' Get Back single. You're just going to buy Let It Be. But I don't know if you're going to buy the Archies' whole album. You're probably just going to grab that Sugar Sugar single.
That's a good point.
right. And we're talking about the little record.
Yeah, the little tiny 7-inch or whatever.
Yeah, 7-inch.
Yeah, record. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you're not gonna be like, oh, I need to get the rest of that Archie's album.
Yeah. One thing we never really dive into too much, I think we've been thinking about a little bit more the past few episodes, is how they're determining the charts.
Yeah.
At the time, like now the charts take into consideration YouTube and streaming sites and radio airplay too. Yeah. But back then, what was it? Was it just sales of the actual records? Was it how many spins they were getting at the radio stations? I don't know. I guess Billboard is determined by sales.
By sales. And because I think if we're talking 69, this has got to be the peak of like radio-oriented radio stations where they're like, hey, tune in, we're going to play Boston self-titled from front to back for the next hour. Like, that was like a thing back in the 60s and 70s. So like you can't really count the spins of that, you know what I mean? So it had to have been the individual single sales. Especially because this was, I mean, we were kind of moving more towards this again, but this was when like bands were just releasing individual singles in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
The albums were ultimately just compilations of all of the singles after they had released 10 or 12 hits. So like we're kind of, I mean, the way most bands do music now anyway, it's like they drop 8 to 9 songs on streaming sites and then it's compiled into an album afterwards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
Ready for a head-bangingly good time? Dive into the world of heavy metal with the Brutally Delicious podcast. Here, we don't just talk music. We welcome you into our heavy metal family. Join us for candid chats with legends and rising stars. We go beyond the typical interviews, exploring raw emotions and the life-altering impact of heavy metal. So whether you're a diehard metalhead or just curious, join our family and let the headbanging begin with the Brutally Delicious podcast.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code 1HIT50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 1HIT50, the words 1HIT and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
The smell of the video store. I love this place. Do you remember when you could just look at the walls of covers?
We had to choose just by looking at the cover and reading the crappy synopsis.
It was, you were leaving with one.
And the only way to know what new movies were coming out is you actually had to watch the trailers instead of skipping them.
Right, we didn't have the internet to look it up. We had one guy named Todd behind the counter that would tell us what was good or not.
And Todd strangely liked way too many romantic comedies.
Yes, but you always knew when the boobies were coming because Todd made sure.
Oh, and remember all the awful CG we had to put up with in the mid-90s?
We talk about that a lot, don't we?
Join us on Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, where we talk about VHS tapes.
And we wax nostalgia like none other.
Yeah, I don't know. Spiral Staircase left us a little bit lost on, you know, there was a few other songs. They had the one album, but this Pat Upton guy was a really good singer. I don't know what else there is about this minus feeling good when I hear this song.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you heard the song from the Goldfinger cover.
Mm-hmm.
When did you hear it? Like, specifically?
It's been a long time, but I remember. This is probably in like the late 90s, I guess, yeah. Probably. Yeah. But the first time I heard it.
Because we've talked about this before. This feels like one of those songs that has always existed.
Yeah.
When you think about it. Like, because I knew this one. I've talked about like growing up in a very musical family. So like, my uncle's been playing in wedding bands since the day I was born. So obviously,
this
Spiral
song,
Staircase like a regular song in his rotation. He still plays it every weekend.
Does your uncle's band have a horn section?
They do.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. They're a nine piece band. They have two trumpets, trombone, and a sax player, and then
I love that
drummer, bass, guitar, and then they have the vocal, and then my uncle's backup vocals and keyboards.
I much prefer brass heavy horn sections than, you know.
I never understood like when there's like a ska band that just has like a horn player.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you mix that to sound right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. You got to have some brass up in your horn section. In fact, I prefer more brass. Yeah.
You can do fun stuff with that too, because when you have like the multiple brass, you can have trombones playing a completely different, like,
yeah, register.
It's the same
trumpet. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing as like a band. Like if you're a three piece band, like Chris, when you're playing bass, you're not playing the exact same rhythm necessarily as the guitar parts.
Right.
You're like maybe laying down something a little bit more funky while they're doing upstrokes.
Right.
If you're doing ska music with the horns, you can be like, all right,
yes,
trumpet's only coming in to like emphasize a certain part of this song. The saxophone's playing the lead and the trombone's like throwing some weird slides.
Yeah.
You can create crazy shit with a nice horn section. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm trying to think of who else says Chicago. Who else were there? Was the horn section something that was brought to my attention because of Krista Makes recently, but I guess in the 70s, adding like strings was so overdone on every song.
Okay.
Listen to like Paul McCartney and listen to like every song on the radio. It was just overdone on the strings to the point where I was like, oh my God,
right.
Enough with the strings.
Okay.
You know, like now I want strings on every song.
Right.
I like tend to always want strings, but it got overdone.
That's interesting.
Well, that was the controversy with Let It Be, right? Like, Paul hated that Phil Spector threw strings on like Long and Winding Road and like these songs that he felt should have just been, because if I'm remembering everything correctly, which like it's been a while since I watched Get Back, but the entire concept of that album when they were trying to make Let It Be was like, we want to do an album that's back to our roots, not a bunch of overdubs, just like a band rocking out. And that's what they recorded.
Certainly then, not an orchestra.
Yeah,
in the
and
mix.
Then Phil Spector rolled in and was like, this needs a ton of overdubs and orchestras.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, is that why they did the
Let It Be Naked?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, where they pulled all that out and it was just the raw recording.
That is funny. That is interesting what you say, though. Yeah, that Krista Makes had told you about that.
Who else had horn sections? Chicago?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tower of Power.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm looking at a list right now, but so let's see. This is what this random list of bands who had horn sections is. So first one, I mean, I guess it goes without saying, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're a swing band. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, definitely a big horn section band. Chicago, The Commodores.
Mm.
It says Genesis. I do not think of Genesis as a band with a horn section.
I think of Genesis as a three-piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Cool and the Gang and the Ohio Players.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then the next question is, what are horns? So it's a break. It's a break. It's an understanding of what the horn section is.
What exactly are horns, Paul?
That needs to be at the top of the page.
Yeah, that should be the start before you get the bands with horn sections.
Could you imagine trying to explain, like to an alien who just understands English but knows nothing? Well, this is a horn. What alien is looking up what a horn is?
Yeah. All right, and here's another. I found a Spotify playlist through my search. Bands with horns, the greatest brass rock bands of the 60s and 70s.
Oh.
So, here's a good one. Ooh, and this is a potential future one-hit thunder as well, actually. Ides of March, Vehicle.
I do not know that.
I know Ides of March.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a know that. Average white band with Pick Up the Pieces.
Okay. Average white band.
Don't know it.
You ever see Swingers?
Yeah, at some point.
It plays a lot in that. It's like da 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 da. It's an instrumental track. Blues Brothers is on here, obviously. Edgar Winter's White Trash Band with Keep Playing That Rock and Roll. Not seeing as many good ones as we go deeper and deeper into this list. If Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Okay.
You have like a lot of that, like, is it disco, is it funk type bands.
Yeah.
Sly and the Family Stone in here with Dance to the Music, definitely like a big one. A lot of the Motown, I guess, would fall into that.
The
Motown.
Funk Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's More Today Than Yesterday by the Spiral Staircase made this guy's list. So Isley Brothers, It's Your Thing.
Yeah.
Parliament is on here.
Oh, yeah. Cool, cool.
I guess there were a lot. I guess Spiral Staircase did not stick out that much for having
69. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I really love this song.
Right.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to be a little bit hypocritical because there's been so many of these episodes where I'm like, one song, man, that doesn't count. Like, I can love the song, I can hate the band.
That's usually your stance. Yeah.
Again, I'm coming from the bias of like, this song is so tied to like all of my childhood memories of going to family parties. My uncle's got his band there playing the party and they always play this song. And
the fact that, you know, if as long as you're a human being, you probably get goosebumps when that song comes on.
I mean, do we want to break down the lyrics just a little bit?
They are good.
They are really good lyrics.
Yeah.
So I didn't remember what day it was. I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you, and if all my dreams come true, I'd be spending time with you.
That just rolls right off.
I feel like I've said this already, but a lot of these lyrics just feel like, I can't believe someone else didn't get to didn't beat Pat to the punch on
right.
this.
Right.
Every day is a new day in love with you. With each day comes a new way of loving you. And every time I kiss your lip, my mind starts to wonder that if all my dreams come true, then I'll be spending time with you.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Into the chorus. And then the last verse is, tomorrow's date means springtime's just a day away. Cupid, we don't need you now. Yeah. Be on your way.
Yeah.
I thank the Lord for love like ours that grows ever stronger. And I will always be true. I know you feel the same way too. Into the chorus.
Oh.
And then, oh. But I have mentioned this a couple times, but I produce a podcast for my uncle's band, the Chico Vibecast. They break down songs in their set list. And they did do an episode of this, so I re-listened to that just to like refresh me. And their sax player was like, this is one of those songs where I don't always see people singing along to the verse, but man, when that chorus hits, everybody is singing along while they're dancing.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that's a sign of a good earwormy song.
Yeah.
Here we are 53 years later.
Yeah.
And we're singing it.
Sitting around a kitchen table, just belting it out when we get to
just,
that.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, both of our episodes that we've done with Paul have us saying, oh, just in different
tones. Yeah. This one's a little more pleasant.
Oh! Oh, we got to do the EMF remix of I Love You More Today.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, fine.
But yeah, so I'm going with a thunder. That was the long-winded way of me saying I'm going with thunder on this one, I think.
We're going thunder. This band put out one album, no other memorable songs.
What more did they need after this?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't agree more with you. I think that if you wrote this song, you can just hang it up. Yeah. From that point on, you can hang it up. But
interesting thought. Yeah. Interesting thought that I've said. I was asked recently on a podcast, what keeps me going with music? You know, been playing in a band for 25 years. What keeps me going after all this time?
Such a good question.
And my answer, and it's an honest answer, is that I still believe that, like, you know, I can write or be involved in the writing or creation of, you know, a truly great song, a song that everybody loves, a song that changes the world. A song.
Right.
I still, do I think I'm going to be a teen heartthrob pop star? No, I don't think that. But do I think I could write a great song that touches people and makes a difference or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that.
Right.
And these guys just happened to do that. And then, like, okay, peace.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah.
Peace.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah.
We did it. We did it right off the bat.
Yeah. But you're right, though. There's more to discover in this space of possibilities as far as music goes. There's undiscovered gems.
Right.
You know?
I mean, there's lots of songs to be written. We could pick up a guitar right now and write a song that.
Right. Right. That meets all those criteria. Yeah.
Yeah. We should do that.
Yeah. We could. We should.
We play in a band together. We could strive to do that.
Hey, that's a good idea.
We could do that.
You should give that a shot. I mean, there are people who are definitely going to say that you kind of already have. You know, like,
sure.
There's songs like Darkest Dark. Like, I'm sure in the 25 years that you've been doing a band that you have gotten those heartbreaking emails that I've gotten just from doing podcasts of someone being like, yo, your song saved my life. Like, I was on having the worst day of my life, and I put on the radio, or I turned on my car and your CD was in, and the song hit me at just the right moment.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I always love that. Always appreciate that.
Yeah.
Not something I take for granted, the fact that people have cared about our music
for
this long, but I'm talking about a song where,
like, I love you more today than
like this song.
A room full of strangers could just all at once go, oh!
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all, oh! They have that shared moment.
Yeah. That, to write a song like that. And I know that there's a lot more to it. There's money and luck and timing a lot of things that go into it that maybe we've written 10 songs already.
That could have filled that role.
Right.
If it was just the right timing, which it wasn't. Right.
The right time or
any one of those things.
Yeah, anything like that. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
But maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's up to the world to decide, not me.
Yeah.
But that brings it back around to deciding if this is the thunder or blunder. And I mean, I think that's a good point, because it's funny. We recorded an episode earlier today. Somebody that gave the artist a thunder and we're like, but the rest of the catalog. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
But here's the difference. Their rest of the catalog was 7 attempts at albums versus a one and done release.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now we're going against ourselves. We always criticize people for having a hit, and then you had this big hit, and then you just broke up, you quit.
But Pat didn't give up. He kept working with other bands throughout the 70s and 80s. He worked with Juice Newton. I was trying to see if he sang on Angel. He didn't. But
so what did he do with
it? He was a producer and a backup vocalist for it. He was a session musician. They would bring him in to sing backups for people's albums.
Wow.
Because he had those pipes. You're like, we need those male falsettos. Mm-hmm. And he said, sure.
Yeah.
Bring me on in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And he put out a solo album in 1995, which his only solo album.
Wow.
What was that, 26 years after Spiral Staircase? He said, I'm going to try this solo thing again.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to it when I leave here and see if there's any bangers on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a good point that they wrote a song so good.
Yeah.
That, right out the gate.
But then they stopped, minus whoever from his band kept the band going without a
keyboard player.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you going to do? What are you going to say?
I mean, you guys, did you give it a thunder?
I definitely gave it a thunder.
Paul, I'm giving it a thunder because I don't have these, you know, I'm not committed to, no hypocrite by saying so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's already a thunder regardless of my opinion, but but I would say thunder. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this song is an undeniable song. It reminds me of, it reminds me of being like in my early 20s, and I'm not going to like get too into it. It reminds me of kissing.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely kissed.
You were smooching.
I definitely kissed to this song.
Kissed a girl. Yeah, right.
Kissed to this song.
Yeah.
So that's a nice, like, young person memory.
Yeah.
Kissing to a song.
Yeah.
Definitely a good song to get a kiss to.
Get a smooch to. I appreciate that we gave a thunder to one of the only bands that will never hear this episode and never be able to get angry at us.
Yeah. Or, depending on what you believe, maybe Pat Upton's been here this whole time, sitting right in that seat, just biting his tongue. Pat, I know you're sitting in that chair across from me.
The switch just flips off without controlling it. We lose the episode.
Could you imagine?
One life is a timely gift. Who knew it would make him sick? Halfway when he found his list of lifelong goals, and now regret sinks in like feet.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing The Other Piano Man off the Punchline album Just Say Yes. Visit punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and news. And we're on Patreon now. Become a patron and get bonus content, early episodes, and a chance to vote on future discussions at patreon.com/OHTpodcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
Of time management. At what point do we set aside the important things in your life? The piano plays, and he had nothing to do with it. It's too late. He tears the list apart.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Ready for a head-bangingly good time? Dive into the world of heavy metal with the Brutally Delicious podcast. Here, we don't just talk music. We welcome you into our heavy metal family. Join us for candid chats with legends and rising stars. We go beyond the typical interviews, exploring raw emotions and the life-altering impact of heavy metal. So whether you're a diehard metalhead or just curious, join our family and let the headbanging begin with the Brutally Delicious podcast.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.